Blog Talk Radio.
Hold on, got another technical difficulty. All right. Good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Fathers, we'll open your word this evening. We want the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us guidance, Father, and a greater understanding of this, your word. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of the service, and we ask this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. Service is going to work a little different this evening. When I got home today, we didn't get all the way through the third chapter of Philippians, so I was just going to pick up with it, go on through it. But I hadn't really paid a lot of attention to this last part of Philippians. And as I was sitting at home and I went to read it, the Lord started dealing with me about some things that I needed to bring out about it. So, I'm not going to read it first. We're just going to start where I left off and start breaking it down, because you've heard me talk about the walls that's been built in the church that has caused division among God's people. And most that are called Christians don't want to believe that. And they'll say, well, you know, they all went to Bible school. Professors and all teaching them. So they're bound to be right. You're going to find out just how wrong some of them can be. And why. And just how easy it is. The cause of it, of course, is Satan. And that little demon army of his that causes the conflict, that puts these notions and things into mankind's head. And this first verse here that we're going to be dealing with tonight, we had finished this morning with verse 10 and 11. So I'm going to back up. I am going to read them because that's going to lead in to ours tonight. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That's where we ended this morning. Being made conformable unto his death. But we know that when we were baptized in Jesus' name, we put on his death and his resurrection. And we brought him into our lives. He lives within us, and we are to live in him. And when things are done right, and we're walking in God's word as we should be walking in it, we find that spiritually we have a lot less trouble. But we also this morning got mentioned by that word perfection, which is a big controversy today in our churches. Because most all of our denominational churches, they teach that no one is perfect. No one walks in spiritual perfection. This very first verse of tonight's service is one of the places where they get that from. And it's Paul's teaching. It says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. They use that verse and they tell you, see, Paul is denying being perfect. Yeah. That he's seeking after it. See, that's what this verse says. Now, I have what is known as the teacher's Bible here. It breaks down all your verses and a lot of the words, gives you meaning of different words and things that has been put together by supposedly Bible scholars, supposed to be the great men of the Bible studies and things in our colleges now, to put together these study Bible footnotes. I want to share with you what this King James Study Bible has got in the footnote about that verse. Paul denies, this is what it says. I'm sharing what it's saying. Paul denies that he has already obtained. His objective of verses 10 and 11, that objective is to know Christ and all that is included in his knowledge, that is experiencing his power, sharing his suffering, being made like Jesus in death, and experiencing resurrection from the dead. At this point in his life, the apostle does know Christ, but not to the full extent possible. He has experienced his power, but not in the degree he desires. He has been made like Jesus in his death, but he can die still more to sin and self. He does walk in newness of life, but there is room for improvement. And either we're already perfect. Unlike the perfectionists who claim to be sinless in this life, Paul admits that he is not. If the chief of the apostles does not feel he has arrived spiritually, then neither should we. Now this, where he's got, I follow after Christ Jesus. Christ laid hold of Paul on the Damascus road for the very objection mentioned in verse 10 and 11. To know him, Paul concedes that he has not yet realized his goal to the full extent possible, but he is in hot pursuit of it. The scholar that wrote this footnote is saying that Paul was not claiming to be perfect. And using this verse, because you see, in one sense of the word, that's what this verse is saying. Now, but they took it out of its context. Now let's leave it in its context and read some of the rest of it. Verse 13. He's even going to be even stronger along that same line. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul is saying, I count not myself to have apprehended. He's not saying he didn't apprehend. He's saying he counts himself not to have apprehended. In other words, he's living his life as though he hasn't reached that point yet. And he's keeping his mind on God and on God's word to do and walk in obedience. But let's keep everything now in context. That's why I didn't read it before, because I want to keep everything in the context as we go. 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I'm not counting myself as though I've already got it, but I keep reaching for a higher calling. He's looking for something stronger, higher. But this has nothing to do with his spiritual condition. He's seeking that knowledge and wanting to walk in the obedience and according to God's will and his way. Now, 15. You see, when you leave things in context, you find out what it's all been about. 15. Let us therefore, us, that's himself and you and I, if we're born again children of God. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. All of us that are walking in that spiritual perfection, walking in and with our life, without all that old sin and sin man with us, be like-minded, like these first verses we read, as though we have not reached that point, that we keep continuing on looking to God for everything we need. But it's written, you know, here, you have already reached it if you are born again, child of God. Let all of us, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Walk as though we were not. But we have. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. You see, we've got to keep God foremost and always looking to Him, regardless of what state we are in. And we're always seeking more knowledge. But Christ bought and paid for your sins. He forgave you your old sins. They are covered. You were baptized and put on His death and His resurrection. You was raised when you were baptized in His resurrection. He went to heaven. So if you are like Him, you are ready when you step out of this life to make heaven your home. You're going to do just exactly like He did. You're going to go home. And if you had not reached that spiritual perfection, you're not going to be going home. So you're always keeping it in your mind and keeping God in your mind as if you had not made it. Because if you let your mind get too puffed up, you could fall. And fall away. And God don't want that. And neither did Paul. Now, he's still going to get stronger here. In 16, nevertheless, whereunto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Even though we have obtained it, let us walk as though we hadn't obtained it, ever reaching for that higher calling of God. Always wanting more and more of Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives until the day we walk out of this life. But he's letting you know there. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already obtained that spiritual perfection. That's why in 1 John, the moment you became that born-again child of the living God, you cannot sin. If you've got sin in your life, then you ain't born again. So you ain't going to make heaven your home. And that's God's word, not mine. It is His word. I've read that to you many, many times because it's in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and we read it many, many times. But once again, we're going to go and read it one more time because it fits in with this scripture. And you find that in 1 John, the 3rd chapter. And I'm going to start with verse 3. We're going to read several verses here. It says, and every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. You see, if we're walking in that hope, then we have been purified. just as Jesus was purified. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. You see, this is why we can't sin. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. He took your sin, my sins away from us. And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. As a Christian, all believers claim that they walk in Christ and Christ walks and lives in them, right? Well, if that's so, then they don't sin. It says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. You walking in that same hope and calling that Jesus walks in. He that committeth sin is of the devil. You can't get no plainer. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And you see, that's what happened when you went to him and confessed your sins, and he forgives your sins. He's destroying the devil's work. Now, Jesus talking to Nicodemus back in the Gospel of John, third chapter, told him that no one could enter the kingdom of God without being born again. We have to be born again to go to heaven. All right. Here in verse 9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. There ain't no mites, no maybes there. Does not commit sin. For his seed, the Holy Spirit, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That's what happens when you're born again. And unless we keep everything as we should, and we become born again, we ain't going to be going to heaven. Now, if we go to the Gospel of John, the third chapter and the third verse, here's what it's got to say. Jesus' words, not mine. Jesus answered and said unto him, he's talking to Nicodemus here, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't go there unless you're born again. Nicodemus, he didn't understand that either. He said unto Jesus, he saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time to his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You see, we've got to fulfill that plan of salvation. We've got to repent and get our sins covered. We've got to be baptized and put on the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, as we're told in Acts 2:38, then we can receive the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. That's why in the study of the book of Acts, every time they found a group of people that was becoming believers, they would ask them, well, how were you baptized? Well, we were baptized by John's baptism. That was being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Because you see, in John's day, that's the way they were to be baptized, because they were under the law. Jesus had not paid that price for them yet. But under the church age, Jesus bought and paid for us with his blood and his life. And that's why we're baptized in his name. That's why we're buried with him. And then we're raised in his resurrection, because we're putting him on. We're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. And it makes a big, big difference. Just as I read to you. Now, here, let me finish up 16. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. Let us walk as though we hadn't reached that point yet. But we are walking. Looking up. Holding on to Jesus. Looking to him to keep us from falling. Brethren, 17. Be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as you have us for an example. Paul's letting them know. You do know what I've told you, and use us as an example. And that's the way our lives is to be. The people can follow our lives as an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul's telling the Philippian church. He says, I tell you now, even weeping, I'm weeping for them, because they're enemies of the cross, because they're teaching contrary to the Word of God. And 19, whose end is destruction? Those that are not walking in the Lord Jesus and Jesus in them. And they're teaching contrary to this word. Their end, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. They're centered on the things of this earth instead of on the things that pertain to Almighty God. And they're headed for hell in that lake of fire. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this next verse ends chapter 3. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? you see, through the Lord Jesus Christ, is the way we reach that state. We don't do that on our own. That all comes to us from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can obtain and walk that way. But that's what it's all about. Now, I'm going to get into a few verses here. I don't know how far we'll get here before. I'm going to get into a few of them because this is carrying on with this letter to the Philippian church. There's only four chapters in this book. Verse 1, he says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. We are to stand fast or persevere in our relationship with Christ. We're not to allow, as Paul was talking to the Philippian church, he was talking not allowing the Judaizers, but with you and I today, it's not the Judaizers that is leading mankind astray. It's those in these churches that has built these walls that has brought division among God's people. Perfectionists are the heroes to disrupt the Christian life. You see, that's what they're doing. That's what our churches are doing. That's why they have fallen and walked so far away. When I left this morning, you know, I had said that I was going to go home and then go to Brandenburg. But they had a roadblock down here with a truckload of corn. We're still loading corn onto it. So I went the other way. I thought, I'll just go on to Brandenburg from here. Well, I knew I had extra time. So I get to this little church that I pray for all the time. The last time I was talking to that pastor, he was in pretty bad shape, health-wise. And when I got there, I seen he was still there. I seen his car. And I saw one other car that I knew. There was only the two cars there. I thought, well, I'll go in, check on him, see how he is doing, see if he's doing any better health-wise. So I pulled in, went in. Here's another church. He's got five people in that church. That's all he had. Five people. And I got a chance to see him and talk with him. And he told me he was feeling a lot better. You know, he knows I pray for him in that church all the time. Some little church at Ecker. That little full gospel church over there at Akron. He sung some hymns and all. And I listened to he's not bad at singing. And he plays a guitar. His wife plays piano. And anyway, I listened to them. Well, then he called a break. I don't know what time they turned loose, because when he called the break and I got a chance to talk to him, he was running me close to making my time there in Brandenburg, so I had to leave. But I did get a chance to check on him, you know. But it's getting harder and harder and harder all the time to get people to church. and even in our churches, I found out that his deacon and his wife has divorced. I know statistics right now will tell you percentage-wise is just as high in the church as it is out here in the world in divorce. And it should not be. But it is. Don't know why they did, but they did. Anyway, here in verse 2 he says, I beseech Eodias and beseech Sintius that they be of the same mind in the Lord. We are all to walk in unity and harmony and in the same mind in the church. We're not to have all these divisions we've got out here. We don't need all these different denominations that's caused division. His word is telling us to walk with the same mind. And if we've done that and walked in harmony and unity and walked with the same mind, there'd be no difference among us. And we'd see this country a lot different than what it is if that would happen. Think about it. Because just think how many more people we would be reaching with the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ than what's being reached. And we wouldn't be leading so many astray. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other of my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And you see, here again, you can take this verse apart and take it out of its setting to say, well, you see, God does use women as preachers. No, that don't say he's using them as preachers. He's thanking God that they're working with him. They are good women. And said they labored with him. Because these women took care of the apostles. They seen they were fed. And they were kept clean. And all. That's the kind of labor he's talking about. But that's not what man makes of it. For rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It don't matter. If you're a child of God, it don't matter whether you're walking in sickness and Satan is brought to you or whatever. You can still rejoice in God. And that I know for a fact. I've got several mountains right now that's come against me. But yet I can sit at home and be in his word and sit there and rejoice. Because my heart's full of joy. Because I am his child. And I have his spirit. And I know that I'm not there alone. I'm not going through none of this alone. He's there with me. Now, there may not be another soul with me. And most of the time, there's not. But I'm not alone. He is there. The Lord Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit is there. So I'm not alone. There's always four of us there. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and me. So why can't I rejoice? And that's what he's talking about. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. When you go to God in prayer, don't go just begging for things, but give him thanks for the things you already have, and give him thanks for the things you're asking him for. Because if you are a child of his, and you are walking in faith, you know that what you've asked of him, he is going to do it. So just start thanking him for it before you ever receive it. Because he will get whatever was done. There are some things that you and I will ask God about or for that we may never see the answer to. But it don't mean he hasn't done it already and he's not working on it. Look at the prophets of the old scripture. Look at, there was Isaiah. 400 years before Christ was born, Isaiah, God gave prophecy to about the Lord Jesus Christ coming, how he was coming, how he was to be born of the virgin, about his days here on earth, and even how he was to die 400 years later before that prophecy was fulfilled. Isaiah never got to see it, but it happened just like the Lord said it would. And he told Jeremiah the same thing, and it all came about. You see, that's why we know, because when we go back, I ordered a book. Yesterday. They told me I'd get it in about 5 days. And the name of the book is Prophecy Fulfilled. There's over 1,000 prophecies in the Old Testament that was given in the Old Testament times that has already been fulfilled. They're all listed in this book. I'm trying to find me kind of a small bookcase to set in here because I want to build a Christian bookcase. And I've got a pretty good start. I've got a bunch of them at home. And I want to get them and bring them to the church and put them here, so that anybody can come in. They can come in, get one of them, sit down and read it, see what it's got to say, and they can take their Bible, see what the Bible says about it, see if they line up together. All right, now, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. We're going to close this next verse. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we're not going to get all the way through. God willing, We'll finish this one up come Tuesday evening. Keep in mind what we have covered this evening to know what is needed for you and I to walk to make heaven our home and not be out here listening to things that man is trying to give us. All right. Everyone get ready now, and we're going to partake of communion.
All right, James, just stay right up here. Could you take communion? And they don't want you here. Come here. Here's your drink. Get you a cracker. We know that at the Last Supper, the Lord Jesus Christ took his bread, he broke it, and he prayed over it. And Father, as we partake of this communion to this evening, we do so in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he suffered to pay a price for us, Father, so that we could have life and even have it more abundantly. Now, Father, let us never forget his pain that he bore for us. And when he broke it, he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Take your bread. And after the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The sacred drink. Now, Holy Father, Father, we thank you for a time that we can come together to share in the communion with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit of the Almighty God. Thank you for this, Father, and may it be used, Father, to help us to grow stronger, to grow in health, and to grow closer each and every day to and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Use us, Father, in great and mighty ways. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, we'll go to the Father in our closing prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We thank you for a place and a time that we can come together, Father, to share your word and to give each other support, knowledge, and understanding. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them, because Father, we know that they are having very little peace. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And Father, our land, this land that has turned its back upon the Lord Jesus Christ, took him out of every place he was in, trying to do away with him, Father, from this nation. Closing our churches, Father, calling them non-essential. Calling your people, Father, domestic terrorists. Help us, Father, to remove them from office and to replace them, Father, with those that will walk with the church, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and work with us to help us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as each name is called, may the Holy Spirit touch each one of them. Fulfill whatever need they have, Father, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Gary Coates, Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father, Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. And Father, we pray that these pastors are filled with the Holy Spirit, that they keep these churches along the pathway of righteousness where they need to be, Father, so that your work can be done in and through them. Now, Father, for this young man, Will, that's been ordained into the ministry, we pray, Father, that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit and that he is the minister you want him to be. Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, you know what the need is there. We lift them up, put them in your hands. That little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, we pray that you keep one there, Father, to keep it filled with the Holy Spirit, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. For my young friends, Father, in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephron Iron, Father, keep them all safe. Keep them in health and see to their needs. Pardon me a moment. Now, Father, for the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, for my wife's family, my family, and for all families, Father, that will hear this message, we ask the Holy Spirit to walk and work with the families and take those that are walking in darkness, Father, and turn them from darkness to light, that light being Jesus, so that none be lost and all, Father, can make heaven their home. For Jimmy Embry, Sharon Mombello, and her mother, for Sue, for Palance Goodman, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen, Father, all of these, they stand in need of a healing touch from the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. My daughter, Father, that's here with me, touch her in a mighty and great way, bringing about healing to her, Father, that when she goes to her next doctor's visit, the doctor will not find anything. He'll not even be able to explain it, because the work will already be done. Now, Father, be with me. Stay with me, Father. Use me in great and mighty ways, not to lift me up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless now. And listen, don't forget, come Tuesday evening at 6 p.m., we'll be back together again in service. So until then, walk with God, He'll walk with you. Good night now, and God bless.